Welcome to a Tuesday edition of Locked On Heat. On today's show, it's Player Preview Week, our annual breakdown of each player on the Miami Heat. Will determine their role on the team this season, what they're trying to accomplish, and determine if they'll play a part in the Heat's long-term plans.
Today, we're looking at a few of Miami's wings. That's Dion Waiters, Wayne Ellington, and of course, Roddy McGruder. Thank you so much for listening and for subscribing. Now let's get to the show.
You are Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
All right, let's do this. Welcome to Locked On Heat, your daily Miami Heat podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, where we break down every news item, rumor, game, and more. My name is Wes Goldberg. I'm a credentialed writer covering the Heat in the NBA for FanSided. You can find me on Twitter at WC Goldberg.
And I'm David Romello, credentialed NBA writer who's covered the Heat and league at large for SB Nation and FanSided. You can follow me and my writing on Twitter at DRomello13.
This is the second day of our Heat Player Preview series that will be running all week long, every day. We'll answer five key questions about three different players. We'll talk about a key stat from last season, what their role will be this season, and then determine what their goal will be for the year, what we're saying about them this time next year, and then play FTK, filler, trade, bait, or keeper. Before we get started, this is sort of a tease of what's to come in our upcoming written Miami Heat season preview that will be available for you to purchase in the next few days. So be on the lookout for more announcements that we'll put out on Twitter. You can follow us at Locked On Heat. We've got the scouting report for every Heat player, awesome columns from friends of the podcast, yes. A whole lot more. We're really excited to show that to you guys. So,
I can't contain my excitement about it. I know that it's been a lot of work from you in particular, and of course some of the friends of the pod, but incredible artwork, really great layout and design, and it's awesome. It is, I mean, I say this as humbly as I possibly can, it is probably the most comprehensive and best Heat season preview you can find out there.
Oh, 100%. It's probably the best thing that we've ever done.
Oh, yeah. That's not saying much. The bar is pretty low, but I mean, as far as season previews go, this is top-notch quality, and you should all, 100%. Everybody listening to this podcast should definitely be on the lookout for that. If you're already a Patreon supporter, first of all, thank you, and secondly, you'll probably be getting a copy of it yourselves, but in any case, this is something that you should all be looking out for in the next few days.
Absolutely. All right, let's get started with the player previews, and we're going to start where else? Dion Waiters. Let's do it. Let's start with a key stat, David. What was your key stat from last season for Dion?
Unfortunately, there wasn't much to work with. All of it was a step down from where he was the previous season with his first in Miami. There was severe drop-offs at almost every different statistical category. But I finally went with 30.6, which was his three-point percentage on 5.7 three-point attempts per game. I mean, he was putting up a lot of threes. I think he felt like he was in a comfortable rhythm, having been, in somewhat of a good rhythm from the season previously. And despite the ankle injury, tried to push his way through it or shoot his way out of it, and didn't quite work, obviously, at only 30%. That was as bad as he gets.
Yeah, I had something similar. I had 39.8. That was his field goal percentage in general.
Yeah.
In those 30 games that he played. I mean, this is a guy who not only struggled to shoot it from deep, but struggled to finish at the rim, too. Yep. Wasn't converting at an efficient rate whatsoever. Took too many long twos, and I think he was settling for those. It was probably, again, because of that ankle situation. And so you hope that, if he gets healthy, that gets better. But what's his role going to be this year?
It's unfortunate, but I think he is the team's starting guard. A guy who can look to create for himself and potentially for others. His passing numbers aren't great, but they're not terrible either. He can make shots for others. And we've talked about it on a number of occasions before. His shots at the rim, whether they fall or not, lead to easy follow-up baskets for guys like Adebayo and particularly Hassan Whiteside. So he's a scoring guard, and he'll be our starting guard if he comes back, if he's still on the team's roster.
Right. Big if. I've got ball handler and shot creator next to Goran Dragic, so I agree. He's going to start. I don't see a way around it. He's not going to start start the season that, mm-hmm. He's not going to be healthy, but once he gets back and once, he might come off the bench for the first few games and sort of get in the flow of things, but eventually he will be back as the starting two guard. Cause there's just, I don't know where else you put him. It's hard to bring him off the bench with Dwayne Wade. It only makes sense to have him as the starter. Now maybe Spo doesn't care. Maybe he's just going to, if Josh Richardson or Roddy McGruder or somebody like that makes a serious leap forward and just demands that starting two guard spot, then maybe that's the case. But I don't really see a way around it. I've got him, again, ball handler and shot creator next to Goran Dragic, similar to that 7-11 dynamic. Hopefully they can get kind of back there. But
Now, assuming he doesn't start, you know, okay, or he does come back from injury, he's in good shape and everything else, it's not predetermined that he has to start. And if people are looking at his contract and saying, well, he has to start, well, Tyler Johnson makes more and he's not starting. So I don't think that plays a factor. And ultimately, right. Spoelstra is the type of coach who will play the guy who's best suited for that position. The problem is that if Deion doesn't start, there just isn't a role for him otherwise. I think Dwayne Wade plays the same role Deion potentially could, and he might do it a little bit more effectively. He's a better playmaker than Deion is even at this point in his career. There's other intangibles that he brings, so I think he would get the starting nod. We are already seen Roddy Magruder, who we'll talk about later in the show, play probably better than either Waiters or Wade. So, I mean, there are a lot of options. I just think Waiters is probably best suited for the starting role, like you said, alongside Dragic.
Exactly. What's his goal going to be for this year?
Oh, man. Stay focused. As vague as that might seem, I think we saw him be much more precise and more intent on, the previous season before his injury, because he understood that this was his last, perhaps best opportunity to prove himself as an NBA player. Obviously, he's gone through a lot of crap in Cleveland and Oklahoma City, and you know, he was basically exiled from there when they rescinded their offer as a restricted free agent, when he was a restricted free agent. He signed here, having said that there were other options, but, you know, I don't know that there were. We never really heard reports that there were other options. He had to prove himself, and part of that, I think, because he was focused on doing so. And now, with all the injury talk, with the pictures of him being overweight, with the potential trade rumors circling around, I think it's been a huge blow to Deion's self-confidence, something that it has always been erratically high. And now I'm starting to think whether or not he might be perhaps a little bit broken. So he has to go back to focusing on what's most important, is to proving himself as a basketball player, at least on the floor. Off the floor, yeah. You know, there are other issues that he has to deal with. But at least when it comes to playing basketball, he's got to be able to recreate some of that energy that he brought from two seasons ago.
I think there's a lot of pressure having signed that longer term contract and things like that. And I just, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that. We talked about that with Tyler Johnson on Monday's show. What my goal is, be there when we need you. Just get healthy and be there when we need you. And oftentimes it's going to be at the end of the fourth quarter when we just need somebody to step up and make a shot. We don't need Deion Waiters to be an all-star player. We don't need, there's enough there with Winslow and Richardson and Bam Adebayo. There's enough guys that you're sort of projecting forward. We're not projecting forward with Deion. Just be there when we need you and do the things that we need you to do. Create shots for yourself. Create shots for others when we need you to do it. That's what made him so great that first year in Miami. And then eventually, you know, you make a big shot every once in a while, and that's what we need from him.
You talked about Dwayne Wade potentially not being on the floor in closing situations. Given, you know, let's say that Waiters would be healthy, who would you want taking the last shot at this point? Dwayne Wade at this point in his career? Okay.
Just makes me happy. Makes my heart warm.
That's perfectly fine.
This time next year, what are we saying about Deion?
I miss Deion. That's what we'd be saying. Yeah, that's what we'd be saying. I think he's gone, to be honest with you. I think they find a way of trading him somehow, somewhere, whether it's for Jimmy or somewhere else. I'm not quite sure, but I think they're ready to move on from the Deion Waiters experiment.
Even if they're ready, I just don't see the deal out there, and that's why this time next year, I think we're saying, still haven't traded Deion, huh? So we'll see. FTK, filler, trade bait, or keeper?
I think we're both in agreement here. He's probably trade bait at this point.
I have him as filler only because I don't think with that coming off that surgery, he doesn't have enough value to be trade bait, okay. But I think he could slowly work his way up to trade bait. So I've got him as filler for now because I just don't see him getting moved.
He's not the central piece.
Unless it's a Butler deal and he's like the salaries just make sense, which it could be, you know, by the time people are hearing this, who knows? Mm-hmm. But outside of like that weird Jimmy Butler situation, I don't see Miami be able to trade him for much else. Okay, we've got Wayne Ellington next, the man with the golden arm. But first, we want to tell you about the big project going on the Locked On NBA channel. Get all of your NBA previews this week at Locked On NBA. 6 teams a day, all 5 days this week. 30 teams previewed by the local experts of the Locked On Podcast Network. Today, our preview went up, David. So we've got Locked On Heat is up there. Our little mini 5-minute preview on what to expect for the season. Subscribe to Locked On NBA on iTunes, Google Play, and Spotify, or tell your smart speaker to play podcast Locked On NBA. Okay, so we'll get to Rodney Magruder later, but let's do Wayne Ellington now. Wayne Ellington, we still haven't seen yet in this preseason. What was your key stat from last year?
95%. 95% being the number of made three-point field goals that were assisted for Wayne Ellington. And that makes a lot of sense considering he's often curling around screens, which he does so exceptionally well. He's always on the move, but he's much more of a catch-and-shoot guy, whether it's in rhythm or off the jump like that. So either way, he's looking for somebody to feed him the ball in the right situations. He's going to catch it, and it's not going to stay in his hands for very long. 95% of the time, he's going to be putting up a three-point shot, and it's going to be from somebody else's pass. So that's a pretty impressive statistic.
I've got 106.3. That was Miami's offensive rating when he was on the floor versus 101.9 when he was off the floor. Now, that 106.3, still about league average. Not great, about league average, but that 101.9 offensive rating when Ellington is not on the floor, good for dead last in the league. Worse than the Sacramento Kings, worse than the Phoenix Suns, who were trying as hard as they could to lose games last year. So, yeah. When Ellington's not on the floor, the Heat's offense shuts down. So that's what I had. What was what's your role for Wayne Ellington? This is pretty obvious.
Well, kind of tying into that, you know, he's our instant offense slash savior. It's kind of a huge role, a huge responsibility for a guy who's mostly been a journeyman throughout his career. But he, you know, there were often too many times where he was called upon to save this team, and you pointed it out perfectly in that statistic. That offense just seemed to bog down so regularly, and with Wayne there, it was ignited. At least it went up and potential another notch or two. So that was always something to look out for. Once Wayne was on the floor, you knew points could come by. There were going to be off shooting nights. There always are for any player. But, you know, more often than not, especially when he had the six most made three-pointers in the NBA last year, he was good to make some shots here and there. And you knew he was going to be able to at least help save the offense when it would get down in those really, really ugly streaks.
Can we create a new nickname for Wayne Ellington? Because the man with the golden arm is not a good one.
It is. He said, he's talked about it recently. He said that it's stuck. A lot of people talk to him about it off the floor as well, around Miami.
Just because it sticks doesn't mean it's good. it's sticky, I guess. Yeah. But I want a new nickname. A lot of people like Man with the Golden Arm. Maybe I'm on the wrong side of history here. But the Lone Ranger. I'm just going to put it out there because he's the only one who shoots from deep. He's the only one. He's Miami's only elite three-point shooter. That's what I have here. Miami's only three-point specialist. Nobody else is. Everybody else on the roster is, at best, an above-average shooter from three-point range. He is the only good to elite three-point shooter on the team. That's his role. Unfortunately, like you said, savior of the team. In today's league, it kind of, you know, if you're the only great three-point shooter on the roster, you're kind of the savior of the offense. What's your goal for him this season?
Well, you know, in sharp contrast to what I said last year, if I recall correctly, I asked for Wayne to embrace that role of the three-point shooter because, you know, he didn't have the same impact last season that he did the year before. He had more of an impact. And so he totally bought into it, just as I said he should. This time around, he's got to go the other way. He's got to diversify his game a little bit. He's become too singular in his focus as to what he does and how he does it well. And while that's great, we saw in the playoffs he can be mitigated. You know, he's a defensive issue, a liability, to be quite honest with you. And so if you're going to be on the floor for your offense, at the very least, don't become so predictable in it that you can't do anything else. It's not to say that Wayne can't put the ball down. It's just not something he does so effectively that it's a legitimate threat. You're going to look for him. Look, that's why he needs to curl around as often as he does. It creates space, absolutely. But that's more than likely the only way he's going to get a shot off. It's not like he just does it off the dribble either.
Yeah, I think we flip-flopped here from last year to this year. Because last year I said needs to figure out how to attack closeouts and do those things. No way. Screw that. We got enough guys who can put the ball on the floor. Rodney Magruder looks great doing that. Goran Dragic, Deion Waiters, Dwayne Wade, Justice Winslow. We got enough guys that are doing that. Don't do that. I need you to space the floor even more, Wayne Ellington. Don't take those just lame curl-around threes that you've been taking. Shoot deep like Steph Curry. Give me the 25-footer. Go crazy. Shoot 10 three-pointers a game. Space the floor as much as possible because as long as people are respecting you, then it's creating more space for the other guys on the floor. Miami desperately needs that space, and we need to establish that space because, again, an offensive rating of 106.3 versus 101.9. That 106.3, seems high compared to dead last in the NBA. It's just average. We're not good enough even when Wayne Ellington is on the floor. Let's create more space, and we can ramp up the offense a little bit more. This time next year, what are we saying?
Another four-year contract? I guess Riley is past his prime.
We disagree on all of these. I think they move on. I think we're saying, who's going to replace Wayne Ellington?
That's what I thought last year. You know, it was strange. I thought he was gone because, you know, he obviously had an increased value. We were almost 100% certain he was gone at the end of the season. And then we find out that he held out, wanted to re-sign here. It's like a lower deal that he could have taken elsewhere. So I think now he's gonna be rewarded for his loyalty. He likes the organization. He couldn't speak glowingly enough about the organization and everything they've done for him. And I think he really feels committed to Miami and the Heat culture because they kind of saved his career and helped turn him around from a guy who had played for so many coaches, so many different franchises. He's actually bought a house in Miami in the South Florida area. So he wants to be part of this for a long time. That's why I think he's going to do whatever it's possible to stick around.
I mean, if he takes like a dirt cheap deal, I could see it. But with Derek Jones Jr. and the guy we're going to talk about next, Magruder, on the roster, you've still got Tyler Johnson for another year. I just don't see the way that you can bring Ellington back.
Yeah,
but then again, they brought him back this year anyway, and they didn't care. Yeah, maybe something like, I mean, maybe it's like $5 million a year, and that's, you know, sure, why not? Mm-hmm. FTK?
He's a keeper, obviously. I think, you know, he's on such a cheap deal, and he provides such great, you know, offense that you kind of need to keep him around because, as you said, he is the lone long ranger on this team, so you got to be able to have him on that roster.
The lone long ranger, that's even better than what I said. I wanted to say trade bait. I just don't see it. Maybe at the trade deadline. Maybe there's a team like the Rockets or somebody that's just like, you know what? Maybe a team like the Lakers. You know what? We just need one more shooter. We'll give you a draft pick for Ellington. I don't see Miami doing it because they don't have a guy. Like, they don't have another shooter behind them, right?
Like, worst case scenario, they don't trade for Jimmy. Jay Rich gets hurt, Adebayo gets hurt, Hassan gets hurt, like the team falls apart.
Like you go to active tanking mode, then they just like sell off all their assets. Yeah, I could see that, but for now I've got him as filler. I just think he's a dude on the roster. I don't think he's a keeper, just because of he's on a 1-year contract. I don't see them re-signing him, so I've got him as filler right now. Good filler, like, you know, but he's filler. Let's move on to Rodney Magruder, but first, Locked In NBA is here for you every day, not just Tuesdays with us. Every Monday, get the local experts on the biggest stories and then stay with Locked On NBA all week long to get daily news and analysis on everything going on in the league. Available on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. All right, we've done Dion. We've done Wayne Ellington. Let's do Rodney Magruder, your key stat from last season on Rodney Magruder.
42.9 on 3-point percentage. That was great in only 18 games. Obviously, he was hurt for most of the season, so he didn't really get an opportunity to show that. But it was on 1.9, almost 2 attempts per game, so it seems pretty legitimate. And moreover, it's pretty close to what he's been shooting this preseason, somewhere around 45%, 44.4. So it looks like Rodney might be a legitimate 3-point threat. Like, we're not putting him in the same category as an Ellington. I don't think anybody would ever say that. But if you can count on Rodney to space the floor, that makes things much more interesting. We've already seen him be able to change up his offense pretty well, leading the pick and roll, working nice chemistry there with Hassan Whiteside and others. And if he's going to be able to diversify his game with that 3-point shot, that makes him a pretty good threat, I'd say.
Yeah, I literally have the same stat, 42.9, so yes. What's his role going to be for this season? I've got, unfortunately, I wish it was more, but go-to injury replacement guy. As much as this, I want him to, you know, be a major rotation player. And look, he's going to probably play almost every night. It's not going to be to the degree or the amount of minutes that we hope. But when you have Dion, when you've got Wayne Ellington coming back, look, when everybody's healthy, I don't see Magruder playing over those guys. Yeah. That said, good news for Magruder. The Heat are never healthy, so he's going to play a whole bunch. Josh Richardson will get hurt. Magruder will fill in. Deion Waiters is already hurt, and Magruder is already filling in. Wayne Ellington will get hurt, Magruder will fill in. Tyler Johnson will get hurt, Magruder will fill in. Dwayne Wade will take nights off, Magruder will fill in. Justice Winslow will get hurt, and Magruder will fill in. He is your go-to injury replacement guy. He's going to play plenty, but it's going to be because of the Heat just can't stay healthy.
Yeah. I've got him as a backup guard just because I'm tired of seeing the small forward experiment. I think Spoelstra is aware of that. He's just not capable. He's not sized to be able to guard bigger wings in this league. I think, and I talked about this, what was it, last week, that he might be better suited at guarding smaller ball handlers, to be honest with you, because of his size. He's got the quickness, the tenacity. I think he can be more effective as a defender guarding smaller players than bigger ones. So I think that's his best role, but I like where you're going with that. He is the emergency fill-in situation there. I mean, whoever's hurt, you can always plug Rodney in because, well, he doesn't ask for anything. He doesn't expect much because he's carved his way to this point in his career. Everything he's gotten so far is because of hard work and determination. So he's a guy that you don't necessarily need to cater to, and he's just going to be able to fill in whatever role you carve out for him.
Yeah, you texted me a few days ago that his comp might be Avery Bradley.
Yeah.
And I like that. And I'm wondering, you know, a backcourt or you know, a perimeter rotation or lineup of Rodney Magruder, Josh Richardson, and Justice Winslow would put the clamps down on just about any offense, I think, in the league. I mean, that is a really – I hope we see that at some point. What's his goal for this season going to be?
Just to continue developing that ball handling. I mean, we've seen tastes of it, and it's a preseason, so you don't take too much of it because, again, that roster has been kind of off. You wonder if he's just relegated to that, you know, injury replacement role, whether or not he's going to feel as comfortable, and a lot of that depends on who he's sharing the floor with. But I think it's enough of a part of his game. We've seen it be effective enough during the preseason where I think we can continue seeing more of that during the regular season as well.
My goal is just go get yours. Like, go get those minutes. Go when you're on the floor, put the ball on the floor, you know, attack the basket, facilitate for others, do everything that you're doing in the preseason. Just go get yours. Do it. I love what I'm seeing from Rodney Magruder so far, and I think he should definitely play over Tyler Johnson, but again, behind those other guys, probably more likely than not. This time next year, what are we saying about Rodney Magruder?
No, that's a deal I like. I think that you know, you can keep him on that team, and he's going to be a great value for the Heat franchise. I think he's, again, a guy who's not going to be able to generate a lot of money as a free agent or anything like that, but he can be able to get a pretty good, solid investment, I think, in a guy like Rodney.
I've got maybe Rodney Magruder will get more playing time on the Pistons.
Damn! Well, you've got him in Detroit, huh? You think Dwayne Casey can resurrect Rodney Magruder or turn him into something bigger?
I think he can find playing time for him because I don't think the Stanley Johnson experiment's working out. I think that they need a guy like Rodney Magruder.
Hey, they had Avery Bradley last year, and they traded him to the Clippers. So
right, see, yeah, look at that, because they were able to get Blake Griffin. So, yeah, I think, you know, Magruder just strikes me as a Dwayne Casey type guy. So yeah, I just, unfortunately, I've got FTK. I've got him as filler.
I've got him as a keeper, man. I don't know, maybe I'm overvaluing some of their players there, but I think on his deal, considering the value he provides as an injury replacement and the growth in his game, I don't see why you would trade him away.
I just, I want to get there with you, but it's like, he's not a keeper. It's like if the end of the day, the Timberwolves were like, you know what, we'll do it, but you got to throw in Magruder. Then you just do, right? Like, you kind of have to. And it's just...
Yeah, that's true.
I don't see him as trade bait because you can't trade him, you know, one-on-one for any sort of asset. I don't see him as a keeper because I just, like, what are you going to do? You're going to sign Rodney Magruder to a long-term contract? I mean, maybe. Like, sure, but he's 27. I got him as filler. Like, really good filler. Again, filler doesn't mean end of the bench. I don't want people to take that the wrong way. Like, filler just means, you know, you're not the future of the franchise, and you're not trade bait, so you're just you're a good player on the roster, but you are just a player on the roster, so you're filler. Anyway, that wraps up day two of Player Preview Week. Tomorrow, we're going to continue along the perimeter. We'll have Josh Richardson, Justice Winslow, Derek Jones Jr., but for now, that's all we have for today. Thank you for listening. As always, you can reach us by sending an email to lockedonheat@gmail.com. or on Twitter by using the hashtag AskLOHeat. If you guys disagree or agree with any of this stuff, hit us up. We're happy to field those calls and emails. Of course, make sure to hit subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, or whatever you use to listen. Music is courtesy of Mojave Wild. Thanks for joining me, David.
You got it, Wes.
Thanks for listening. One last thing before you go. If you run a company and you're unhappy with your return from advertising online or in print, try something new and advertise on a podcast here at Locked On Heat. This is a great opportunity for local South Florida businesses to connect with Heat fans. More and more people are listening every day. 50% of U.S. households listen to a podcast, and 1 in 5 Americans between ages 18 and 49 listen to at least one a month. That's according to Nielsen. Thanks to the rise in mobile options from iTunes to Spotify and more, to your smart speaker at home, there's more ways than ever to listen to podcasts. Now is the time to get in. Be ahead of your competition and start advertising on a podcast with us. Our rates are reasonable and based on the number of listens, so you get what you pay for, with numbers to back it up. Whereas print, TV, and radio ads are a shot in the dark. You have no idea who is reading, watching, or listening. That's not the case with podcasts. If you want to reach engaged, passionate, and knowledgeable South Floridians, this is the way to do it. For more information on next steps, email us at lockedonheat@gmail.com, and we could be talking about your company on the next episode.